Good morning. This is Community Speaks, and it's being brought to you by The Prescription Shop on Fort Street. I'm Brady Safranik, and joining me today with Wyoming Game and Fish, we have Bud Stewart and Jim Seaman in studio. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time.
Welcome, Brady.
And Jim, we'll start with you. We're going to talk about people collecting shed antlers and horns and how they need to not trespass doing right. So.
Yeah, and this year we have a new law in state statute. It was passed actually last July 1st it went into effect. So it's against the law. It's always been against the law for people to go on a private property, whether they're hunting, fishing, or trapping, or for any reason. And we've always had an issue with this time of year when people are picking up antlers, shed antlers, which is just fine. It's legal. And we have, every once in a while, we'll have people that go onto private land without permission. In the past, this has been a sheriff's office. They had to deal with it. It was criminal trespass. Versus there's two trespass laws in the state. There's criminal trespass, and then there's a separate trespass just for game and fish. And that's whether you're hunting, fishing, or trapping. In the past, if somebody was trespassing to pick up antlers, we would have to call the sheriff's office and they would have to handle it. Now, with that criminal trespass, there has to be some notification. In other words, the land has to be posted, no trespassing, or a verbal notification. A landowner or a landowner's representative would have to tell somebody they're trespassing and they had to leave. That's the difference between the criminal trespass and game and fish trespass. Game and fish trespass, there doesn't need to be a notification. You don't have to post your land. You don't have to tell anybody they're trespassing. If somebody's hunting, fishing, or trapping on private land, they can be cited immediately without notification. Now, the new change in the law never included picking up antlers because that wasn't hunting or fishing or trapping. Well, now it is. So if somebody's caught on private ranch picking up antlers, they can now call the game warden, local game warden, and they can be charged with game and fish trespass. So, and we have had a few situations around Johnson County where that's happened. You know, I suppose it's like poaching. People get a little ambitious, and I think they feel, well, I'm not hurting anything, but they are. They're on private property without permission. And so they'll go sneak in or pick up antlers knowingly and get caught. Now, a couple of the repercussions, if you do get caught picking up antlers, obviously you'd lose those antlers, but you can be cited. And in addition to being cited under the game fish trespass, you can lose your hunting privileges for up to 2 years. Along with, you know, your privileges to hunt or fish, another privilege is applying for preference points for some of the bigger species like moose, sheep, and goat. You potentially could lose all your points.
Now, if you lose your hunting privileges, does that include hunting and fishing then? Are they separate or are they together?
Well, we've had cases where a judge will just take somebody's hunting privileges or just take somebody's fishing, depending on the violation.
Okay.
But we've also had judges take all of your privileges. And so now that also includes hunting, fishing, and trapping, and your ability to apply for license and obtain preference points. And that's pretty big. Some of these species like bighorn sheep and moose, it takes 20 years of applying and building up preference points before you draw a license. And if you, Bud, correct me wrong, if you miss 2 years in a row of putting in and getting points, if you miss 2 years in a row, you go all the way back to zero. So that's a huge, hopefully a huge deterrent for people trespassing on private land to pick up antlers. I mean, they could lose a lot.
So yeah. It's up to people to know where they are.
Yeah, and that's the big difference in criminal trespassing, game and fish. For game and fish, hunting, fishing, and trapping, and now collecting antlers, it's always been on the burden of that sportsman to know where they're at and to know whether they legally can be on private land or public land. Obviously, public land, they can be on public land.
But sure.
Yeah, so that's a big change to the trespass statutes.
And Jim mentioned that, and this law has, there's already been at least one case over in the Cody region where a fellow was cited for that, and he did lose his hunting privileges for 2 years and his ability to purchase or obtain preference points for 2 years in a row. Well, so he's going to lose all of his preference points, if he had any. He's going to go back to zero now So, you know, I guess people got to realize that if you're going to take that chance, there's a lot to lose.
There's repercussions.
Repercussions that you probably don't want to risk, you know. And, you know, Brady, along with that is people out shed antler hunting, you know, they can bump wildlife. They can, you know, maybe it's unintentional, but they can push wildlife or harass wildlife. And you know, they're doing it this time of year. And this is a real critical time. We've talked about this for probably the last 2 or 3 months, that this springtime is those animals are coming out of a pretty hard winter. And their fat reserves are down, and they just don't need any more, you know, bumping or pushing or harassment at this point. So, kind of 2 points to shed antler hunting that are both, you know, can be negative to the person and the wildlife doing it. So
sure. And Bud, then we have a bunch of important dates coming up to remember that are for meetings and such.
Yeah, this Saturday, April 21, the Game and Fish is going to have a coffee with Game and Fish up at Sportsman Warehouse in Sheridan's. Sportsman Warehouse are going to host us, be some, I guess, coffee and donuts, and the Sheridan Warden will be there, probably a fish person and a fish biologist, and I will be there as well, just to visit with folks, you know, talk about whatever you want to come in and talk about. So that's April 21st. Then the following weekend, April 28th, that's when the AIS, that's Aquatic Invasive Species, check stations will open statewide. So if you're a boater, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you leave the state and come back, your boat has to be inspected and all that. So those check stations will open on April 28th. Then on April 30th, there's going to be a public meeting at the Game Fish office at 6 o'clock. And there'll be actually four things there discussed at that meeting. You know, rather than have four separate meetings or even two meetings, we decided in the Sheridan region just to combine and talk about four of our regulation chapters. That includes fishing regulations, the watercraft regulations, the aquatic invasive species regulations, and then the wolf regulations. And so we'll kind of go through each one of them here and talk about a little bit more in detail what's going to be discussed about each one of those chapters or each one of those segments. And we'll do fishing regulations first, because that's probably the most pertinent one to folks here. And there's really probably four notable things that are being proposed for change. And number one is Sand Creek, which is right over on the South Dakota-Wyoming border, just south of Beulah. And Beulah is a little town that you go through. It's the last town you go through as you're traveling east on 90 before you go into South Dakota. Sand Creek is south of Beulah there. And we've had a double limit on brown trout in Sand Creek for a lot of years. The idea was to allow people to harvest 12 fish a day. We would hope that was going to reduce the brown trout population. It's really overpopulated. I mean, there have been population estimates there of 10,000 fish a mile, and we routinely get population estimates of 4,000 to 6,000 fish per mile. So we were hoping that taking more, you know, harvesting more fish would reduce the number and the fish would get bigger. What we found out is that nobody that fishes Sand Creek takes advantage of that. They don't harvest the 12 fish. So we're going to do away with that 12 fish limit and just go back to 6. That's kind of the Sheridan region standard on streams. So that proposal on Sand Creek. The one that's really close to home here is North Sales Reservoir Number 1. That's out on the Bud Love, the Wildlife Habitat Management Area. That lower pond on the North Sales. Now, there's two streams on the Bud Love that have ponds on them. South Sales has two. North Sales has three. Our proposal, or what we're going to propose, is taking the lower, the most eastern pond, the lower one, number one on North Sales, and make that a trophy fishing area. So the regulation would be that you're only allowed flies and lures and restrict the harvest to one fish that has to be over 20 inches. This is just like the Muddy Guard number one regulation. So we're proposing to do that on North Sales number one. The a third one has to do with the Tongue River drainage. We get a lot of requests from folks in the Sheridan area that go fish Tongue River Reservoir. They want to fish with minnows. Well, the state of Montana and the state of Wyoming, we don't allow live fish to go back and forth across the border. So what we're going to propose is that anglers can actually get a permit to collect bait, seine or trap bait minnows in the Tongue River drainage there. But once they do that, they have to kill them on site before they leave. And the walleye anglers in Sheridan have talked to us about this, and they would like to do that, and then they would kill them and preserve them. Usually they can preserve them with salt, and then since they're dead, those minnows can be taken up to Tongue River Reservoir and used and brought back into Wyoming. So that's a third proposal. And a fourth one is kind of minor, probably won't affect anybody in Johnson County, but that's Area 3A live bait fish possession area. And basically what that's saying is that if you go to the Belfouche River, where you can legally collect live bait fish and use in Keyhole Reservoir, but if you're somebody that lives here in Buffalo and you do have a seining permit for the Belfouche, if you go collect minnows there, you would not be able to bring those live minnows back. Those live minnows collected have to stay in the Belfouche area. So those are the four fishing regulation changes that are being proposed at this meeting. The watercraft regulation, you know, just some minor wording changes. There's really no major changes to the watercraft regulations at this point, but we do have to take them to the public at a public meeting. And the aquatic invasive species regulations, the one thing that there are just some minor changes there for 2019. The fishing regulations, watercraft regulations, and the aquatic invasive species regulations would not go in effect until January 1 of 2019. But while we're talking about AIS regulation, just as a side note, there is a regulation that started January 1 of 18, and that's when a person pulls their boat out of the water, they have to remove the bilge plug. That's something that's they cannot have the bilge plug in when they're traveling down the road. That's new for 18, so that one is in effect now. And I mentioned the wolf regulations. This one would be for the hunting seasons this fall, and it's just establishing the quotas in each of the hunt areas that's in the trophy management area, and that's all in the western part of the state. You know, here in eastern Wyoming, and we're in the predator zone, and wolves, there is no close season or whatever. So that's just establishing those quotas in areas in the western part of the state. So that meeting will be in Sheridan, like I said, April 30th. It'll be start at 6 p.m. at the Sheridan office. So anybody that has any interest in any of those things I mentioned about fishing regulations, watercraft, AIS, or wolf, I encourage you to come to that meeting at 6 o'clock on Monday, April 30th. So that's something that just wanted to remind folks, come on up and visit. And then another big deadline that nobody wants to miss, and that's applying for resident deer, elk, and antelope, and non-resident deer and antelope. Non-residents have already applied for elk. They did that in January. So that deadline is coming up here on May 31 at midnight is the deadline. Now, along with that, since that's the deadline.
Oh, but I wanted to ask on the landowner applications, if you're a landowner and your property qualifies for your landowner license, I think that deadline's coming up a little earlier, May 15th. So they have
okay,
roughly.
So that was a couple days ago. April 15th.
So landowners, if you're out there and your property qualifies, get your applications to me by May 15th.
Okay. So that's a couple weeks earlier than this. So now you got about a month to do that, or just a hair less than a month to get those landowner applications in. But for the public drawings, since that deadline is May 31, the Sheridan Regional Office is going to be open until 7 p.m. on May 30 and 31 to assist hunters. If you want to come in and you don't have a computer at home, you want some help in applying for your license, we're going to be open a couple extra hours each evening the day of that deadline and the day before. So May 30 and 31, we're going to be open till 7 p.m. to help hunters get your application in. And like I say, don't want to miss that one because, you know, I mean, if you or got a coveted elk area or whatever, or a deer area, you want to be sure and get that application in.
And it's spring turkey season right now.
It is, yep. Of course, here in Sheridan, Johnson, Campbell County, we're in turkey hunt area number 3. And that actually opened April 1st. And it's, so we're what, 17 days, 18 days into the season? And Jim can speak to, have you been checking any turkey hunters or?
You know, there's hunters, not a lot of harvest yet, but there are a few people that have gotten some birds, and mainly on private land. I haven't seen a lot of people up on the forest, up on the mountain, just because of the snow conditions, but occasionally we'll get birds up there, and we'll have them up there from now through the season if the snow is, I mean, they're up there regardless, but they're around. And
yep.
Yeah.
So, that's a general permit. You can go down and buy that over the counter. We also had available, they are now sold out, but Area 3 has some Area 3, Type 3. We had a couple hundred, 200, 300 of those. They sold out before the season ever started. So those are gone. But
Is that just for people that want to harvest more than one turkey?
Yep, that's exactly what that's for. Brady and a person can have a couple of those. And we actually looked on the list, and a lot of folks that bought those bought two of them when they were buying them. So, and we have, I'd say we got a pretty healthy turkey population around.
Yes, we do.
And so, you know, hopefully there's some opportunity, and folks will have about another month to hunt spring turkeys.
Is that just a first come first serve thing on the sold out licenses there?
Yeah, they could apply and buy those on those type threes. Yeah, okay. they you know, they would could buy those, but and the generals, you can down there, Sportsler or Maverick or wherever, you know, wherever the licenses are sold, our Game and Fish office, and you can go in and buy a general turkey license for the spring. And of course during the spring, only male turkeys or a turkey with a visible beard is allowed to be taken during the spring season.
And we talked before about places to hunt. I know Brady had asked on the mountain, and I just thought of another one. You know, we have lots of birds, turkeys, just right here in close proximity of the town. Sometimes
we can't shoot them downtown if we see them?
Unfortunately, no. but I know of a place that's really close to town, unfortunately, or fortunately for those archery hunters, it's archery only, and that's the veterans home.
Oh, okay.
That's a walk-in area, as long as you're using archery equipment, and there's birds, there's turkeys there, and haven't checked anybody that has hunted there, but if you get down and walk, get down right close to Clear Creek, there's turkeys there. So anybody who might wants to try, get a turkey with archery equipment, that would be a spot that's real close to town here.
Okay.
And that's an exciting thing to hunt with archery, and you know, a lot of folks will use decoys and call and get them to come in and shoot one with a bow. So you know, just because it's spring don't mean you have to leave your bow at home. You can hunt turkeys with archery equipment.
And I think maybe I've asked this before, but a crossbow, is that considered archery or is that considered a gun?
Archery.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So you can hunt with a crossbow.
Okay.
Sure.
Cool.
So. Now, we've been talking about Hunt Area 3, which is Sheridan, Johnson, Campbell County. Just want to mention that, you know, some folks from here will go hunt Area Number 1, Turkey Hunt Area Number 1. That's over in the Black Hills. And the folks over there have told us, the game fish people there, the warden and biologists, that there's a lot of, and of course, people go hunt the Black Hills National Forest. They have been telling us that there's a lot of roads upon the forest that are still closed due to snow. They had a pretty good amount of snow over there, so they were that season opened the 14th, so just a few days ago. But and it'll close on the 20th. But they are kind of encouraging folks to maybe wait a little bit. You know, you're just not going to be able to get around very much if you go over there now. So maybe, you know, if we have some days of sun and wind and stuff, hopefully the roads will dry out and access will become a little better later in the year. But they were just asking folks to maybe hold off and not go the first few days just because of that. So, but anyway, that's Hunt Area 1, and that's over in the Black Hills area of Wyoming. So,
talking about hunting, you've got a hunter safety course coming up here in Buffalo.
Yeah, we do, and that's going to be April 22nd to the 28th. You can get on the Gamefish website and under education, hunter education, sign up for that. And it's you have to bring $10 cash to register it, and they're asking you to bring something to write with, pen or pencil. But so there's six different days. That on April 22nd, it will be from 2 to 6 p.m. And then on the 23rd, 24th, 26th, and 27th, it'll just be 2 hours in the evening, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then on the 28th, that's a Saturday, it'll run from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And that's the live fire day. That's where you'll actually get to shoot a gun and stuff. So that if somebody is interested in take that hunter safety class, get online, get registered. And I think the same folks that are going to teach this one's got another maybe in July or something. You know, if you got a person that's going to be 12 prior to the big game seasons this fall, and if you're born after 1966 and going to hunt, you have to have the hunter safety course. So get enrolled and get that done, and then you'll be good to go.
And looks like we have a closing for Dull Knife here in 2018.
Yeah, Dull Knife, that public access area, Dull Knife Reservoir, it will be closed. They're going to do a fair amount of construction up there. I just want to notify if that's one of your places where you go fish. It will be closed during this calendar year in 18. And the reservoir is going to be very low, if not totally empty, while they complete the work. So there really won't be much opportunity to fish anyway, but it will be closed in 18. So just wanted to let folks know that about that, so they don't get all excited about going up to Dull Knife and going fishing and get up there and there's no water, you know. So
that might be a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah,
if you don't know.
you just don't want that surprise, I guess. So,
and coming up here in June in Upton, Wyoming Hunter Education Challenge.
Yeah, there's a this is kind of a neat deal, really. Kids across the state, I think they're having there's a couple of these. If you, again, go on the Gamefish website and go into that, you'll see there's kind of a regional one over in Thermopylae a little earlier. But the big one that's statewide, that is in Upton on June 9th. And this has been going on several years. And but there's a fella that you can contact over there at the Upton Gun Club, Rick Roth Lautner, I think is how he pronounces his name, but his phone number is 307-281-9980. And the event is open to all youth under 18 who've taken and passed the hunter safety education course before the event on June 9th. So, you know, if you take this one here and you can go over there it costs $10, but all the ammo is going to be provided. And the youth will also get a free T-shirt, and they can participate in 22 rifle, archery, shotgun, muzzle loading, hunter skills, orienteering, and wildlife identification. So, and this is kind of a qualifying event. If you're a team, you win some of these events, you actually get qualified to go to the national event think one year it's in Raton, New Mexico at the Whittington NRA Center, and then sometimes it's in Pennsylvania. And actually, we've had teams from Wyoming, I think, last couple years. The Upton team has gone, I know a year or so ago, they went back to the one in Pennsylvania, and they won the National Sportsmanship Award. So, it's a great event for kids that are, you know, under 18 and who want to participate. Now, new this year, in 2018, there's going to be what they call a Tomahawk Run, and I'm not sure exactly the details on that, but it's not part of the competition. It's just for fun and to try new things and so try new activities and such as hatchet throwing and stuff. So they're going to try that out just to see how it goes over, I guess. So that'll be a kind of a new event. This year.
Sounds like fun, hatchet throwing.
You know, everybody likes to throw a knife at a target or a hatchet or something. So, but like I said, the event information and registration is available on the Game Fish website under Hunter Education. You go there and there's all kinds of details. I looked at this a couple days ago. And so there's a lot of stuff there that people can look at and register. So it'd be fun for a kid to go and do this.
Absolutely. So that's coming up June 9th. In Upton and Bud, this summer, a couple of area waters are going to have some creel surveys.
Yeah, the Sheridan Fish Management crew will actually be conducting a couple creel surveys this summer. One is on the North Tongue, that's in up by Burgess Junction, in the northern part of the Bighorn National Forest. That'll start in about a month, start about mid-May, continue until mid-October. On that one, there will actually be a person, a creel clerk, will be in the area certain days, computer generated days, certain number of weekdays, certain number of weekend days. They will be there to interview anglers about their fishing trip and ask a series of questions, how long they fished and what they caught and what they caught and released and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then the one thing that if they contact an angler and that angler is not done fishing yet, that angler will be given a card. And then they can complete that card, fill it out when they're done fishing. Because in a creel survey, the most important information you can get is from a completed trip. Because that way, you know exactly, you know, did you fish for 3 hours or two or whatever? That's the real valuable information. So these cards will help the fish division get completed trips. And so, like I said, when you get done with that card, done with your fishing trip, fill out that card. Get it done. There's going to be a drop box there on the area, or a couple of them, where you can put those cards in, or you can just drop them in the mail. They're postage paid. Drop them in the mail, and they'll go right to the Sheridan region.
Is that like what they have out at Bud Love? I've filled out some cards out there before.
Yes, real similar. And this year, there's going to be one of those, just like it's out of Bud Love, we'll be down at Muddy Guard Reservoir 1 again. And that one's already started. Because I went down there with Paul Mavrakis a week or so ago, and we put up that creel card survey box. Now that one, there won't be a person there. There's just a box with a card in it, and the Fish Division is asking folks, if you go to Muddy Guard 1 and fish, when you're done fishing, please take one of those cards out, complete it, fill it out, and then there's another little slot that you can put in, and they'll check them. Oh, I don't know, every week or so, and Jim's down there, he probably checks them, or Fish Division, go down and collect those cards. And so you get an idea on just the same thing. What's harvested, which it has to be over 20 inches if it's harvested at Muddy Guard 1. So, just length of trip and where people are coming from and that sort of thing. Just helps the fish crew better manage those areas. So just encourage people to participate in those if you have the opportunity.
Sure. And coming up this summer, Game and Fish is hosting a kids camp in Story.
Yeah, this will be the second year that we will have it's called Camp Wild. And it's a 3-day camp for about fifth grade age kids. And it's a day camp, so they won't be staying overnight. So parents will have to transport them there each day. And this one, it'll be up at the Fish Hatchery picnic area there. It'll be July 17, 18, and 19. Those are the 3 days. The cost is $60 per child, and you can register on the Game Fish website. You go there and go to the website and then go to store and then Camp Wild if you click on those. Excuse me. And I think there's 13 kids signed up already, so there's room for a few more. And last year, like I said, was our first one up there, and all of the kids really, really enjoyed it. They'll do a lot of activities and talk about, you know, outdoor activities and fish and wildlife and that sort of thing. So, you know, if you're a fifth grade, about in fifth grade and that age group, you'll really have fun at those camps. And like I said, it's a day camp, so you won't be staying overnight. Just parents have to transport them up in the morning and come get them in the afternoon. So still some room. So if you have a child that age or if you're a kid, want to go, talk to your parents and get registered to go.
And you want to have a little regulations reminder for people moving live fish.
Well, we kind of talked about this earlier with the moving live fish, and I'm sure Jim runs into this. He can speak to this too. But, you know, it's illegal to move live fish from the water, actually, where you fish, but especially across the border. Folks that want to go fish here up to Tongue River Reservoir, you can't take minnows, live minnows, from here up there. And if you go up there and get minnows, you can't bring them back. And, you know, you can't. It's just, it's illegal that Montana doesn't want it. We don't want it. It's for, you know, because it gets species moved around where we don't want them and stuff. So just remind folks that you can't do that. And, Jim,
well, even fish that people catch. I mean, people want to bring home fresh fish all the time. So they'll, in their boat, in their live well, or in their coolers, they'll have the fish alive after they've caught them. And the fish have to be dead. Or the live well in the boat, obviously for the AIS requirements too, all the water has to be drained out. So whether you have it in the live well of the boat or a cooler, you have to drain them out. And, you know, I know people that bring coolers with ice, and that'll keep them fresh till you get home. But, yeah, you can't have live caught trout or perch or bass at all anywhere in the state. So they have to be dead when you transport them. So.
Okay. And before we wrap things up here, Bud, this is your final appearance.
Right. Yep. My last day with Game and Fish will be May 1. I'm going to retire after 33 years with the Game and Fish Department. So this will be my final KBBS Community Speaks with as a Game and Fish employee. You know, I just wanted to thank all the folks that listen to these radio shows, and I hope that we've informed them a little and maybe educated them a little. And thank you, Brady, for hosting these. You know, we've started out, you were doing this, and went through Mark, and then back to you. So we've kind of come full circle, and I just want to thank the station for hosting Game and Fish on these shows and all the listeners over the past 4 years that I've been doing these. So.
And, Bud, we want to thank you for coming on. You know, I always learn something when I have you on the program. I always look forward to it when I see it on the calendar. And even off the air, before and after the show, I'm always picking your brain. So thank you.
Well, that's been good. Well, you know, you can if you see me, still ask questions, and I'll you know, I won't be able to answer him as a official Game Fish employee, but and you see Jim around, you know, he's going to be here a while, so you can always pick his brain.
Sounds good. We got Bud Stewart, Sheridan Regional Public Information Specialist, at least for a couple more weeks, and Jim Seaman, Buffalo Game Warden. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thanks, Brady.
Thank you.
This is Community Speaks, and it's brought to you by the Prescription Shop on Fort Street in Buffalo.